I'm honored to be back. This will be a series. You will want to get the series to send to friends and family. The morning meetings will follow one track. The evening meetings will follow a similar but separate track. So you can almost get two series, but really they all go together. Number two, we want to completely violate all the traditions of camp meeting. The traditions of camp meeting are everybody's here on the weekends and the vacationers and relaxers are here during the week. At least I've been speaking at camp meetings for over 30 years and that's what I have seen. This is my first time, praise the Lord, to Alberta Conference camp meeting. I want you to call your family and friends. They must come out to the evening meetings. We know they're working right now. We know that's why they don't come until the weekends. I mean, somebody has to pay their bills back home, and they have kids in school and things, but they can drive the 2 hours out to the meeting. Interesting, when it's a playoff game, we are capable of driving 6 hours to the game and still make it to work the next day at 6 a.m. without having had a wink of sleep. When something is important, we do it. So I want to challenge you. We'll see how many come tonight. And you think we can double it by Thursday? I want your non-believing friends to come. Because I don't believe in doing anything without appealing for righteousness and decisions for Christ in baptism. I went to a camp meeting back east in the conference of and I said, "Where's your baptistry?" He says, "Well, we don't do that here. You will. You should have never invited me. Walmart has these little pools for sale. Have one set up right there." He says, "This is highly irregular." Exactly. You should have never invited me. And by Friday, we had people ready. Sabbath, to the shock of everyone, we had over 40 baptisms. Now listen carefully. We are limited only by the mind. The scriptures say, as a man thinketh, so is he. If you think you can't do this, then you're not going to. I told you, we can't do it. It just doesn't work in Alberta. This is something for the third world. If you think that, that's exactly what will happen. But if you set your mind on Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, you ready? You think you just came to camp meeting this year? You think you're here because of the specials at the ABC? Some of you think you're here because you could take boxes of Vegemite home at a reduced rate. Come on, don't raise your hand, just your conscience. Some of you are waiting for that book to drop another dollar before you purchase it. You've been working on the manager. Can you please drop it to four? I only have four. You have 20, but you don't want to spend more than four on it because you want to get that little Bible for your granddaughter. Camp meeting is more than that. Jesus is coming, and this world is not getting any better. And our communities are less and less aware that Christ even exists. And we know him. This is our time. It was foretold that such a time as this would come, that a latter rain of the Holy Ghost would occur, and that you and I would see something we've never seen, say things we've never said, do things we've never done. Is that going to happen or not? Or will another book be written saying the Lord was ready, but not one in 200 were ready, and the Lord had to tarry? The 1 in 20 bothers me. How many would it be now? Don't answer that. Just make sure it doesn't happen. So like we say on the street, what you going to do about it? You want to step outside? I'll pray with you. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming. Those of us who have lost and lost and lost and been through pain and pain, and gave up giving excuses about being so wounded and wounded and broken and broken and medicated and counseled, The day comes when you say, there has to be more than this. We are limited only by the mind. So let's free the mind this week. What do you say? I know some of you are thinking, I'm retired. That's for some of the younger ones. Too late. Ellen White worked well into her 80s until she fell and broke that hip. That girl did not stop. So don't try to hide behind your age. In fact, you've ruined it with your amount of experience, with your years of journey. You can be a guidance, a mentorship to a younger person who has their heart in the right place but doesn't know where to go with it. You can take them under your wing. Let me tell you how we did it 43 years ago, young lady. Straighten her out. Tell her what you have seen. Okay, so I've warned you. Are you ready to head into the week? Right, do not eat immediately before the meeting because you will be sleepy. You eat after the meeting. Okay, remember that. Because when you eat, all of your blood is over here, or most of it is, working on the small intestine and extracting all of the nutrients of the food. And there's less oxygenated blood into the brain, which means you start falling asleep. So you don't eat before. Eat after. Now, I know some of you are on a health specific, specified doctor supervised, and you have to eat at 10:30. Go ahead. But I'm going to make sure you don't sleep. Okay, this will be the rule. I will watch for three souls, because it always happens. Somebody begins like this. Your eyelids begin to weigh 20 pounds each. And then to convince us that you're awake, you start moving your foot in a curious way. Then your head starts bobbing. And everyone knows she's falling asleep. And finally, you stop bobbing altogether and just sit there. When I see the third soul, we will all stand, stretch, and thank the Lord and greet each other. Nobody sleeps through my stuff. Have you been warned sufficiently? Okay. I'm not on vacation. I left my family in Maryland, Washington, D.C. area. We are here working for Jesus. We're on the clock. He is coming. Behold, he cometh in the clouds. And too many Albertans are not aware that he's coming. So God has planned to use us. That's why Pastor Weeb and leadership team, I'm honored to be here at camp meeting. We were at Edmonton, and now Calgary is mobilizing. Something's going on in this great controversy in Alberta. It's about to wrap up. Don't you agree? Or what are you thinking?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not convinced. It's just that I.
There are people who get into this eye problem. It's time to let go of our emotions and trust in the Lord. It's time to realize it's not our training, it's not our experience, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We're working on something that we cannot do, but God can, and He will. Get with the program, or you'll be reduced to just watching it happen. And we'll have to ask you to move out of the way. I was in a meeting one day with General Colin Powell, and over 100 organizations had signed on to assist kids in the community. We were launching an Alliance for Youth for the United States. And a year later, most of the organizations had not done anything. It's easy to promise. Harder to follow through. And I'll never forget it. He took off his jacket. He rolled up his sleeves. He says, all right, let's go through these names. All right, no excuse. About a third through the list, he says, stop reading. Get rid of everyone who has not started. We don't need to carry them. Those who make false promises should not be part of this movement. And then he turned to us and changed my life. He said, lead, follow, or get out of the way.
Can I leave?
Too late. The Adventists have already launched your tutoring sites. You stay right here. It was frightening. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. That time has come in church, folks. The Lord's about to come, and we're still fighting over stuff that don't need to be fought.
Well, I never.
Right, you never. But you always. And we never quite. We argue about things that don't need to be. Why do you wear those blue shoes to the house of God? You know, I don't know if God cares what color our shoes are. But some people think they know. We on appearance. Some people don't like facial hair. I've discovered quite painfully. Most of my hate mail is, when are you going to shave that terrible mustache? And I send them a collection of our Adventist pioneers, all with humongous. I mean, A.G. Daniels is longer than my mustache. That man will be saved. But because the fashions changed and men shaved because of the military that impacted Adventist concepts, World War I now brought in proper attire, proper facial. And we'll fight about that. Souls are dying all around us. And we fight over some of the silliest things. Brothers and sisters, the time has come. Have we laid a foundation here? Now, you will discover something. I have nothing to hide because I know you will Google me anyway. Now, some of you are asking, what is Google? Ask your children. Ask your grandchildren. They know even more than your children do. Ask your four-year-old granddaughter. Everybody knows where Google is. Google has even produced a car that drives itself. You just hop in, and it drives you to your place safely. I believe in transparency. I believe because the time is short, we have no time to waste. So I don't hide my humanity. Our culture is never let people know that you're human. I don't know why that is, because everybody's looking at you. They can tell you're human. When you make mistakes, it's hard for us to apologize. I'm sorry, I misled the committee. I was unaware that I was wrong. The action that we took was a mistake. Please forgive us. What's wrong with admitting the church board can make a mistake? We voted this in the board. But if you're transparent, perhaps our board made a mistake. What's wrong with that? If a church can awaken and say, we've been wrong, this is our opportunity to make it right. See, so throughout this week, you will sense my transparency. I do nothing to hide my mistakes, my foibles, my defects of character. And hopefully that'll keep a few from sending me those notes anyway. You know, another criticism I get heavily is I'm too happy. You need to calm down. You're far too happy. So you've asked the Lord to give me victory over joy. And then I won't count on His joy to be my strength. You see, I witnessed my first homicide when I was 8 years old. I grew up with a lot of pain. My father was a drunk. He'd be arrested. We'd find him on the front lawn. We have high diabetes. When you listen to the native story, it's easy to condemn. But try walking in our moccasins for just 1 kilometer and understand what it's like to be looked down upon, to not have opportunities. People don't want to hire you because you're not as good a worker as the others. And schools write notes home saying you don't want to cooperate in the classroom. I remember one, Jose refuses to fill out the color wheel. He turned in a picture with purple grass and an orange sun. It never occurred to them to find out if I was colorblind. So I was removed for being uncooperative. But I am colorblind. That's why my wife numbers all my clothing. I've been known to dress bizarrely. I bought it myself. Don't you ever buy clothes again. So when I went to Walmart, what did I buy? Black on black. If you mix that. See, I'm giving an example. I'm only a human being. So are we set? All right. All right. You've been warned. So come Wednesday, I never. Exactly. But you did. You agreed to this. Let's bow our heads and go into His presence. Father in heaven, sir, we would see Jesus. And as we launch this series throughout this week, speak to us. For thy servants heareth. We've had enough. The devil has had his way long enough. We want to see Jesus. And Lord, may this camp meeting be a turning point in our lives. May these CDs, DVDs, and other Ds we send out be something that somebody finds helpful, that they might look heavenward and find an invitation for themselves. So now, Lord, with your blessing, we move into this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The theme of camp meeting is what? Go. Theme is what? Remember your teachers? Go. Do your homework. Remember, any of you wear the uniform? Served in the military? Eventually, command says, all right, go. Get in the fight. Get in the fight is a serious comment in combat. That means grab your weapon, risk your life in the name of your country and your people. Get into the fight. Go. Now, Jesus had spent 3.5 years saying, come, come, follow me, come. Lech acharai, come, come. You too. Wait, don't leave. Come, follow me. And wherever he went, come, follow me. Take up your cross and come, follow me. All of a sudden, 3.5 years later, okay, now go.
But you said, come.
Yeah, but now let's go.
But you've been saying, come. Didn't he say, come?
Yes. Yes, Master, it's only been come. All right, now it's go.
I'm confused. You've been saying, come.
Come unto me, all you that labor of heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come, follow me. Come. Now it's what?
I'm not going to say it again. Go.
It's shocking when Jesus says go, because we're only used to coming. We like to come to church. We like to come to camp meeting. We like to come to the grocery store. We love to come to many places that we want to come to. But then the Lord says, go. Go where? So this week is going to be talking about, if we respond to His command to go, what do we need for the journey? Ready? So that each of these, especially the evening meetings, we're going to really focus special for the evening meetings, because your friends and family are going to come out from Calgary and Edmonton and other towns. And they're going to figure it out somehow. Miracles are going to happen this week. People who did not know Jesus today, by Friday, will be making decisions to commit their lives to Him. In baptism. Do you believe in miracles? All things are possible to them that believe. If you're struggling, then be honest. Lord, help me with my unbelief. Get out of the rut, because this week we want to go for this. All right. Let's start at the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. Notice with me. Verses 1 through 3. Genesis 1, verses 1 through 3. What do you need for the journey? If you respond to His call to go, all right, I want to go. Now what? Step 1, Genesis 1, verses 1 to 3. Notice here, it's talking about creation. Some people love to debate creation. Let's just look at the text and let it speak for itself. You know, I'm also a paleontologist. I get out there. I found my first dinosaur skeleton when I was 17. And I found a sloth. I was giving a week of prayer in Argentina, And I was looking out at the prairies and I said, this is dinosaur territory. It's all grassland like here. See, I know there's bad land somewhere in this province. I can smell them. T-Rex is nearby. Yes, ma'am. Don't be looking like that. Uncross those arms. See, I could tell when I'm in dinosaur area. And if I head west, once you start getting into Jasper and quartz, there, you're getting closer. The limestone is nearby. I know you really care. But when I went to the cafeteria, I noticed little coprolites all over the place. This is coprolites. Look at that, jasper coprolites. Agate coprolites. You know what a coprolite is, right? It's dinosaur dung. It's the droppings. And then they petrify and they become semi-precious. You can make money with them.
What is it? He couldn't hold it any longer.
And it's been sitting there for quite a while. It was covered over and it completely mineralized. And now you have this brilliant, clear, see-through agate that was once coming out of an intestinal tract. I mean, and so I told them at the university, if there's droppings, the animals can't be far away. Am I the only weirdo here? So I went to the School of Paleontology at the university and I said, let's get out there. After the meeting on Wednesday, I want to get out there. And we took some equipment, a Spaniard, two Argentines, and several students. We took camera gear. Let me tell you, we got out there. All right, you guys handle that slope. That little wash, I want in on that one because that's where the erosion's taking place. Within 20 minutes, I found a jawbone complete with teeth. And everybody came. They openly wept. This is wonderful. For a paleontologist, to find a skull is just about the biggest thing that could ever happen outside of finding one alive. Okay. And so we dug and carefully with the paintbrush until we removed, and it's a sloth. It's an Argentine sloth, a gigantic animal with huge paws. It was a mammal that ate only plants. Vegetarian way back then. Anyway. Creation. I stalled to give you time to find it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form, void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now notice what happens. This is a principle. Rules can be changed, but principles are immutable. The Ten Commandments are 10 principles. All the other rules that the Jews added on could be changed. Some people make them all one and the same. This is a principle. The principle is, where God sees darkness, he responds. Look at verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And what? There was light. Any questions? When God sees darkness, he sends what? The light. Don't ever forget that. God does not forsake his own creation. When he sees darkness, he sends the light. Behold, it was good. So God will never let you sit in darkness. Remember when you were little? Were you afraid of the dark? You know that's a learned response. A normal child is not afraid of the dark. I used to tell my son, why don't you go upstairs and bring me this thing? It was at night. Sure, puppy. And he'd run up cheerfully. He'd even be singing a Sabbath school song. Until he found it. He had to turn on the light to see well. But one day, they went out with their cousins and they found out about the existence of El Cucuy. El Cucuy in Latino culture, doesn't matter what country, is the boogeyman. He lives in the closet, under the bed. He'll grab your ankles when you try to desperately go to the bathroom at night. And he did not know about El Cucuy. Now, El Cucuy does not exist, but too many cousins believe he does. And all of a sudden, my child, when I said, can you go upstairs? I can't. Why not El Cucuy? See, you learn to be afraid of the dark. I'm not afraid to go into the woods at night until I get a couple clicks in and realize a grizzly can see me and I can't see him. And to him, I look like a pepperoni pizza. And he can run faster than I, and I realize that I must take caution, but it's not fear. There's a big difference. When God sees darkness, he casts out all fear. How does he do it? By sending light. That's a principle. You can be upset about it. You can write to your premier. You can say this isn't fair, but that's just the way it is. Where God sees darkness, he sends light. Now notice this. John chapter 1, once again, another chapter 1, verse 1, but now instead of the book of Genesis, it's the book of John. Notice with me, John 1, 1 and onward. In the beginning was the Word, the Greek logos. What is logos? Jesus. In the beginning was who? In the beginning was Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that is made. In him was life, and the life was the light. Notice again, God sees darkness, and what does he do? He sends the light, and the light was in Jesus. He is the light of the world. Is that exciting or what? I knew this. Well, of course you did. I didn't come to shed anything new. I just want you to look with new eyes at something you've known for decades. I want you to walk out of camp meeting this weekend saying, I knew this stuff, but I didn't know this stuff. I've always known, but I didn't know. I never. It was nice. I want you to be pushed beyond your comfort zone. I want you to head home saying, I know who we're going to talk to first. When we get home. You know that neighbor you've been doing this to for 30 years? And you still don't know their name? Who are they? I don't know, but we've been waving at each other for decades. And their dog always barks at me. You know, we can say hi to people without ever knowing them. We can say hi to Jesus for years without ever knowing him. A lot of people think they know everything about the prime minister. They know him. I certainly do. Conservatives like him this way or hate him this way. Liberals like him or hate him that way. Everyone thinks they are an authority on the prime minister. But do you really know the guy? There's only one way to get to know people. What do you do? Come on over. Let's eat. Food is powerful. When you get to know somebody, gentlemen, when you asked her out, where did you take her? To eat? Yeah, yeah, lots of times. And she began to fall in love with you over hors d'oeuvres. The way she'd hold out her fingers like this, and you just grab your fork like this and shoveled it in, she would say, Mom, he's so masculine. He just destroys. He destroys the plate. He's frighteningly masculine. I love him, Mom. Don't tell him you love him yet. Just don't let it go to his head. Just let him work hard. And then for the guy, he saw you with your fingers. Oh, Mom, she's so feminine. She's so delicate. But the horse is deathly afraid of her. She knows what she's doing. But the way she holds out her pinky and the other thing, just like this when she... You know, and it's over food that you bond. When you got married, what did you do to celebrate? You ate. And
Think of it. When you really love people, what do you tell them? Come on over to eat. Do you invite just anybody to the house to eat? No. We'll never invite them again. He ate everything. There was nothing left for the rest. That's so rude, right? It's over a meal you confirmed this guy was rude. He thought the whole bowl was for him. It was just good. I couldn't help myself. That's not true friendship. Over food, you bond. And I used to work with some producers in Hollywood. You know, when they decide on a movie that's going to cost $150 million to shoot, they're having a sandwich at a little cafe. And while they're eating, okay, so in a sense, it's a guy thing, no decorum. Anyway, sisters do it another way, but guys tend to be more gruff. Anyway, I know that's an overstatement and an overgeneralization. So don't write that letter. They finally make the decision on the movie. Good. Let's see if we can bring in these stars. Let's see if we can talk to their... All right. They shake hands and they finish their meal. Then their lawyers call each other and set it up. But it's usually decided at a meal. I was at a Taco Bell. Amen. In Mojave, California, right next to Edwards Air Force Base, I was pasturing in Bakersfield, just down the mountain. I was up hunting for rattlesnakes because I did venom toxicology research at Loma Linda in those 2 years, and so I was out catching specimens. Don't worry, if you get bit, you're going to want to find me. I used to train the physicians on patient management after snake bite. Anyway, so bizarrely, I go to the Taco Bell. And I meet a couple guys who say, right there, you're at the table. What? Right there. The scientists from this base, Edwards Air Force Base, sat right here on a napkin over burritos. They sketched out a concept for what would come to be known as the space shuttle program. And they would open doors and you'd have an arm that come out and it would deploy satellites right here on a napkin. They were like this. Okay, so the doors... No. The doors have to go like this. They designed it, the concept, at Taco Bell. Now you need to eat there too. So for other inspirations to rise, burritos will be a blessing to you too. No, that's a too big of a leap. When God promised Abraham, your seed shall be blessed. A great nation shall proceed from your loins. And Sister Sarah thought it was funny. You be careful about laughing, even if you're 96 years old, at God's promise. Because when God promises, He fulfills His word. To settle the contract, they slaughtered the prize bullock. They parted the body and walked between it. And then the meal was prepared. It was at a meal where a contract was confirmed in Old Testament times. God promised, let's sit down and eat. Remember when He called Gideon, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Who are you? I'm 17. I'm grade 11. I'm taking care of the wheat for my dad. Well, you're going to free Israel from the Midianites. I highly doubt that. They won't even leave me. They won't even elect me junior deacon at the church because I'm too young. How can I liberate a nation if my church board doesn't think I'm old enough to pick up an offering? I need a sign. Well, bring me something to eat. Bring me something to eat was confirmation of the contract. So he went and brought some lamb and lentil stew. Lord said, put it right there. This black charcoal mark was left on the rock where the stew once sat. Any questions? Okay. Thou art the Lord, God of Israel. Do not slay me. I didn't come to slay you. I came to call you. How did they settle it? Well, they didn't quite eat it, but a meal. Revelation. What is it? 3:20? Behold, I stand at the door and whoever hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and what? We will eat together. We'll settle this contract. It's forever. Ellen White says when we get there, there'll be a table miles in length, but we'll easily see through the other side. What will be there? The supper of the Lamb. We're going to eat when we get to heaven. You see what I'm talking about. So the Lord wants to know us. We can know everything about Jesus without ever meeting Him. And until you sup with the Lamb, how do you sup with the Lamb? Don't just go to church. Participate. Love your neighbor. Well, they know what they did. Ever since the nominating committee of 1987, they know what they did. So what if they know what sins they committed? Love them anyway. If you meet Jesus, here's how we can tell. You start doing what He did. When a kid goes out on the street, what does mom say to the kid when she sees him at the park with those other kids at 4 p.m? I've told you I don't want to see you with those boys. They're the ones we see on the news. They're involved in the crime. Mom, I know what I'm doing. They're just friends. I would never do that stuff. I study my lesson. I'm assistant teacher at the church. I know, sweetheart. But by being with them, something's going to happen. I know what I'm doing. I'm 14. Over the months, what happens? The kid starts looking like them, starts moving like them. You know, it was kind of like, you know, I was like, you know, then she was like, they were all like, I was like, whatever. Tell me who you're with, I'll tell you who you are. You start doing what they do. Pretty soon your kid's arrested. That's how my family got sucked in. That's how my brother had 32 arrests. But he was not scum. He was my brother. And I still miss him. You see, we're not dirt. We're just the people that fall through the cracks. One day, I was driving out of Loma Linda on Highway 10. I had chaired some committees that week, and I had nowhere to preach. This was a first. I mean, in the last 30-something years, I've only not preached maybe 4 or 5 times by bizarre coincidences. And I had nowhere to go. Surrounded by about 120 churches, I'm going to do something fun. I'm going to drive west toward L.A. I was born in East L.A., right next to the freeway, the big general hospital across the freeway from the White Memorial. That's ground zero for me. And I said, I'm just going to pull off of any exit and just go to the church nearby. So I pulled off at the Broadway exit, right there in East L.A. where I was born. I drove up the street. I knew instinctively to turn left. I've never been to this church, but I heard of where it is. I walked into the church. I made sure I got there at 11:45 so that no one would ask me to preach. It's too late. And I wasn't going to be there in the afternoon. And I snuck in behind the choir who sat in the back corner. I don't know what happened. My mustache must have been sticking out from one corner. I don't know what. But a deaconess was seen running, interrupting the pastor and handing him a little piece of paper. I understand Elder Rojas is here. And I tried to hide. And then the choir, he's here. I said, I'm guilty as charged. What you gonna do about it? And I'm home now. This is down the street from where I was born and raised. The swings that I played on as a child are still there. And the little polluted lake, when you pull out a little bluegill, they have green and gorgeous purple tumors. It's just so colorful and beautiful. They're all so sick. They're not fit for human consumption, but they're pretty. And they swim kind of wobbly. Don't make fun of my hometown. I stand at the church, and the pastor says, you're going to preach, pastor. There's 5 minutes left. We don't care. And so how many want him to preach? And by vote, never submit it to a vote. Anyway, so I was made to stand up, and then I remembered. This is the church that threw my brother out. I realized. I look out the window, little 28th Avenue. That's where the gang hangs out.
About 2,000 of them. This is not a little street punks. This is organized crime. You know, 10 tons of cocaine per year moved. This is organized crime. And I said, so Lou Bosco came here? That was my brother's nickname, Lou Bosco, Bosco Chocolate. He was so dark, you know, he chocolate. Somebody tried calling him Hershey, but he went with Bosco. And I heard Lou Bosco came here. Don't worry, Pastor, we took care of it. We made sure he wasn't around here to be a bad influence on our youth. As a gang member, we had several deacons make sure that he got out and never came back. And I said, you guys know he died, right? Oh yeah, down here. You know that he begged for his life before dying, right? Oh, well, we don't know details, but you know, he had it coming. And I said, that was my brother. You guys threw out my brother, and you want me to preach here? Am I hearing you correctly? They just stared at me. Are you telling me that only certain people are welcome in the house of God? That sinners, real, honest to goodness sinners, have no place in the house of God? Is this place for the lost or for the saved? I need to know right now, because it's going to determine whether I stand here anymore. And a deacon stood up, I'm so sorry, but I was part of escorting him out. I'm sorry, Pastor, I accept your apology. And another one, I'm sorry, I'm the one who got upset and pointed him out. I'm sorry, I accept your apology. And it's turned into this love festival. I never got to preach. I walked off the pulpit and we stood there and we just cried together. That was my brother. I had told him, Jerry, there's some water over here. I'll baptize you. Then we'll give you a quick bath because the fish are showing what the water is like. But you know what? It's warm water. I can baptize you. I know, dude. I just need more time. You know what I'm talking about? I'm going to go to your church. It's up the street. So he kept his word. He went to the church and was thrown out. So we prayed together. And I was able to find some healing. And that church, the next time I went back, was full of gang members. Scary place. I walked into Sabbath school, so what up? What? Oh, you're a veterano, sir. Yes, sir. See, veteranos, veteran gang members, we wear hats. And when we wear our hats, it means respect on the street. When I walk down the street of L.A., oh, the teenagers, the gang member, oh, there's a veterano. Good afternoon, sir. Sir, good afternoon. So when I go preach there, what happens?
A veterano's here to preach, ese. Orale.
They get scared. Because veteranos are either in prison or dead. They haven't seen one saved before. You see, there's power in the gospel. God can save anyone.
Do you know Jesus? Because if you know him, you will do what he did. When he saw a lost person, what did he say? Come, follow me. When we see lost people in church, what do we say? Be careful now. What do we say? Welcome to the house of God. And even if your family has occupied this pew for the last 30 years, if a visitor sits there, don't go tell them, excuse me, this is my seat. You swallow your pride and sit on another pew today because someone from out there is in here today. When God sees darkness, he sends the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Have you seen the light? One more passage. Notice with me, it's found in the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 105 to 107. Psalms 119, verses 105 to 107. Notice. Now, you know the Harp of David in archaeological reviews. There is a sense of consensus in which the harp of David resembles more a guitar
than a harp. Now, of course, someone opinionated like me loves this kind of research. Imagine when we get to heaven and Jesus hands out guitars to everybody. Yes, sir. And Ellen White says we all play them skillfully. Thinking of all those churches I was escorted out of, the devil's instrument will not come into the... It's not. It's the Lord's instrument. Wait till you play guitar in heaven. I stalled to give you time to find it. Did you find it? Psalms 119, 105 to 107. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 106. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. Verse 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet. That's the low beam. When you drive a car, you have to be able to see immediately in front of you, especially if the snow is starting to stick. Isn't that right, Albertans? Now, I know you've never seen snow, but just try to imagine it. You better hurry. It's beginning to stick, right? Isn't that a common... Especially that awful wet stuff. When it's minus 40, it's just this cute powder that goes everywhere. But when it's that wet, heavy stuff, and you realize you're going to be sloshing through town, and you're going to be careful, but somebody else is going to slide into you who's not. And there's something about the lamp unto your feet. The low beam allows you to see exactly what the pavement looks like. And then the high beam allows you to see the road ahead and those two other cars. You need both. Thy word is a low beam and a high beam unto my life. And Jesus is what we find in the word of God. Now, it's interesting that when I travel around, people have me sign my books or whatever. But one day someone said, I want you to sign my Bible. I said, I don't think so. I can dedicate a book, but the Bible, the Word of God, why don't you have the Lord sign it?
How do I do that?
With your baptism. He'll sign His Word in your life. And they say, okay, I'll do that, but I want you to still sign. This person wasn't going to leave without a dedication. And I can't do autographs. I don't believe in that. So I said, I'm going to put something here to push this person around. In these pages, you will see Him. Look and live. Then I scribbled my name really small. I don't know whose signature is. I don't know. But the other thing just jumps out at you. And then there's this little low self-esteem scribble of a signature. And the idea is, in the Word of God, we will see Jesus. Some people think we'll see doctrine. No. He is the doctrine. You can understand Him in 28 fundamental ways. He is the doctrine. See, well, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. That's another message for this following few days. I can't unload my outlines yet. We need light. The journey of going begins with light. Question, do you have the light? Do you have the light? During the 1996 Olympics, remember when they came to North America? Not the Winter Olympics. That was embarrassing. The Winter Olympics in BC, Vancouver, when the helicopters were bringing in snow from Alberta to put onto the muddy slopes of Vancouver so that they can ski down on Albertan snow. That was a unique experience for me. Who decided to put the games in? I know that's controversial to say it in an open public. Vancouver people, I love you too. Just a lot of mud and the slalom just wasn't working. When you see a skier come down and he's more muddy than snowed, I fell. I slopped into the mud, went off the snow, and it was melting. Anyway, the 96 Olympics was the other one, not the winter. And of all things, I receive a letter. Dear Jose, the United States Olympic Committee has selected you to carry the Olympic torch. Okay, I'm in shape. I mean, round is a shape. But
Usually these torchbearers are these buff, chiseled, gorgeous 20-something. You know what I'm talking about. The young people are like, that's so wrong. It should have been me. Why are they? I know it should have been you, but they pick me. I don't know what mistake. I quickly Googled my name, and most of the Jose Rojas's were in prison, so it couldn't have been. It's awful to look up my name. Anyway, that's another message altogether. The Lord has reminded me of the heritage of my name. Jose Rojas has been a bad boy for a long time. Anyway, I don't know how they did it, but I was selected. And I accepted, quite foolishly. And to prepare for carrying the torch, I took a 2x4, a long one. It would go running with it. So my neighbors wondered, look at this poor man ready to die, carrying lumber. This is the most bizarre jogger we have ever seen in our lives. They didn't know I was picked. I mean, who would say, now there goes an Olympian preparing for his historic run? No, I mean, my mustache was flopping in the wind, and I'm like this, out of shape, with a side ache. It was incredible. It was frightening. And I want to close with this, so listen carefully. The flame for the torch is lit by the rays of the sun in Olympia, Greece. And the flame is put into three lanterns. And those three lanterns are kept in three separate vehicles at all times, so that the original flame lit by the rays of the sun in Olympia, Greece, is made available to the torch bearer. I had thought that we pass on the torch. But think of it. What torch can bear thousands of kilometers and tens of thousands of kilometers of running? Impossible. No torch can survive that. The flame can. So it's not the torch that we pass. It's the light that we pass. So I'll never forget it. We had a press conference, and they had all these lean machine athletes, and then Rojas, and then lean machine. So the evening news, the camera panned like this and came right back. And the reporter said, we need to talk to you, sir. Is it true that not everybody selected this year is an athlete? Yeah, thank you for rubbing my nose in it. In a national press conference, I'm the one singled out. They're letting just about anybody carry the torch these days. Back to you, Bob. It was embarrassing. The Lord knows it. Here is supposed to be an honorable moment. It was a very humbling moment. Everybody's thinking, I don't believe this. What have the Olympics come to? Anyway, long story short, the day finally came. I went to where my route was going to be, straight uphill for 1.5 clicks. Beautiful paved street right into the city of Washington. Now, another woman in our crew was picked to carry it up the steps, the 200 and something steps of the United States Capitol. I thank the Lord I wasn't that person. He's passed out on the third step. He's not moving. This poor woman got to step three and had two men escort her. For me, there would have been no one escorting. Thump. He's not moving. Anyway, fortunately, I took the flame into the city of Washington. And I was working at the General Conference, and two busloads of GC staff wanted to see this for themselves. I want to see Jose when he passes out. Don't laugh. It was scary. Anyway, even Elder Falkenberg, this is fascinating. Let's see how Jose does it. Long story short, I see three motorhomes. Each is carrying a lantern in it. I see a runner in front of a motorhome carrying the torch with another runner, a true athlete. In case that runner drops, the other runner picks up the torch. With two motorcycle cops, one on each side, another motorcycle cop in front, and a police car in front of that, with a helicopter above. Because protesters had been tackling the runner and snuffing out the flame.
So then they'd pick up the runner and provide ambulance support with the ambulance behind the third motor home. You want to still run? Yeah. Can you go pick up my tooth? Because I still want it. It's over there. And they'd help the person back up, pull out another torch, and bring some original flame from one of the lanterns and light it again. And in front of everything was a flatbed truck with about 50 reporters, cameras, stills, videos. It was being carried live. Worldwide. And the official says, "Here's your torch." He unwraps it with a handle in the middle, very long and quite heavy. Fortunately, I had worked out with my 2x4. And he says, "Are you ready?" "No, I'm not. I'm not ready. I want to go home. Ya me quiero ir a mi casa. Yo no quiero estar aquí, por favor." He says, "It's too late." And the other runners approaching me. Oh, before that, a beautiful thunderstorm came and dropped who knows how much water. So the steam was gently rising from the pavement as I looked upon my trek of 1.5 clicks of steamy July afternoon. Anyway, they lit my torch. The flame is like this. If it drops, that's not funny. We pause as the runner's face has seemingly exploded. Now I have to keep it up here. And I'd have to switch hands if when I needed to. It was terrifying. You don't understand my problems. And there I am running. I'll never forget it. Several times I looked up at the flame, lit by the rays of the sun in Olympia, Greece. I had the privilege of bearing the flame. That is what it is to bear Christ to the world. When he says, "Go, many torches are here," we pass the flame. The light is what goes out. That's what circulates through town. That's what lights people's feet and their path. It shows the way. And only in the Word can we find his path straight. We must be bearers of the light. So like we say, what you gonna do about it? Now, if you came here to be inspired, you have wasted my time. We did not come here to be inspired. Everything else about camp meeting will inspire you. These meetings, the 11 o'clock and 7 p.m. meetings, are to be mobilizing meetings. Everything else surrounding will inspire. I was so inspired. It was so inspiring. Well, what was it about? I don't remember, but it was very inspiring. If you just get inspired, do you hear what I'm saying? I know I'm confrontational. That's why you shouldn't have invited me. But notice that I confront you with great respect. I've been coming out here for years. It's nice that not all of you knew. I've hung out with your young people who are now parents of more young people. Toronto had most of my time at the beginning. And then some Albertans said, "You know, there is a Western side to this nation." When I got to Vancouver, they say, "Oh, you did notice us." I go, "I'm here, don't scold me." And we developed relationships over the years with the great provinces of this nation of Canada. The beauty of this place, is matched only by those who call it home. You are a great nation. U.S. citizens have a lot to learn from you. Back home, I'm an illegal alien again. We struggle with anger and hate. Canadians do too. But we die in the midst of ours in large numbers. Canada has become a great hope to our future as a continent. Take your torch and light it with the flame of Jesus Christ and light the way for others. So installment number one, as he says, go, make sure you take the light with you. Don't go with your ideas. I remember someone once said to me, Pastor, I need to ask you only one question. Do you believe in the message of Melchizedek? And I realized no matter what I said, I'm in trouble. Obviously, they developed a theological construct on this great priest who was a son of Aaron. But they have something. If you do not understand the message of Melchizedek, you will not be saved. That's fanaticism. And Jesus wasn't a part of it. Melchizedek seems to become Jesus to that person. And others get going on this tangent or that tangent. Ellen White warned freely about that. If you have that gift, keep it going. But it must be in the light of Jesus. The message of health is the right arm of the message. Don't forget there's a left arm and a right leg and a left leg. And the head is Christ. We work together. Be strong. Be of a good courage. This battle is not ours anyway. Now remember, in my traditions, a warrior never killed anyone for killing's sake. It was for the preservation of life and the tribe and its need to eat, clothe, and house in the realities we lived in. Imagine those kinds of principles in Christianity. We don't need to kill each other. Let's keep our eyes on the enemy. It's not flesh and blood. It's principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's the devil and his demons. It's the finishing of the great controversy. That's the enemy. We're going to do this, right? Are you in? I have 6 arrangements for I Surrender All. People make fun of me, as it's still my favorite song, whether you giggle about it or not. And it's been over 60,000 baptisms with that one song. So maybe there's a message in it that others agree with. I'd like to sing one of those versions. And as I sing this song, I want you to examine your own heart. None of us has arrived. We are all on the path of life. And if this path is to take us heavenward, we need to go together. Jesus' prayer was, Lord, I pray that they may be one, even as you and I are one. Are you ready to unite? As I sing this song, if you want to be part of this closing prayer, I want to be a part of this united unit for Christ. Come on up here that we may conclude with prayer together.
Oh, to Jesus, I surrender all to Him. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. I surrender. Precious Lord, oh, I surrender all. Sing with me. I surrender all. I surrender. Prayer. precious Lord, oh, I surrender all.
One more time, now that you know it.
I surrender Lord, oh, I surrender. Oh, 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 oh.